Hello, and welcome to episode 93 of Bardic Quest. Johan and Thoric are grappling with a devastating loss, but the quest must go on. And in the depths of the lost mine of Phandelver, a haunting discovery awaits Gundren Rockseeker. So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode of Bardic Quest. Many hours pass by because whomever's watch was next, they are not awoken for it. The sun rises and you find yourselves one person down in the hills, as you awake to the sunrise, with Saga being nowhere to be found.
Thoric?
Huh? Yeah.
Ah. She's gone.
What?
She's gone. She's not here.
Thoric straight up, just kind of pacing in circles, just looking on the horizon if he can see any sign of her.
Would you like to give me a perception check, please?
16.
You can see no sign of her anywhere.
Where is she? Where did you last see her?
When we fell asleep.
But how could you have... How did we... She was right here. And she was wounded. Did she not wake you? Did she not tell you where she was going?
She's gone, Johan.
She wouldn't just leave.
Thoric, just... throws his hands up. Nothing could take that woman other than an army.
Do you think they came back? They did something come in the night? It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I just hoped it wouldn't happen. I suspected that she would try and get away from us. So if the worst would happen, then she wouldn't hurt us. But I hoped that... I don't know what I hoped.
I'm sorry, friend. I wish I could have done something.
Look at us. Saga has been bitten by... And I don't even have my sword. And the cave is within arm's reach, and we are not ready.
Gundren emerges from his tent
And he says, he looks like he's just woken up. His hair is everywhere. His beard is really, like, all over the shop. He says, what's going on?
Johan shoots him an angry look.
He says, I meant no offence.
It's all right, Gundren. Saga's going to catch up later.
Ooh. He says, is she all right?
Let's move on, shall we?
Right. Very well. Well, we just need to carry on up that hill there. And we'll probably be at the mines within a few hours.
Johan interrupts him and just like walks straight past him over to Thoric. And just kind of, Thoric, what do we do? Without Saga, without my sword, we barely escaped with our lives the last time we encountered the Black Spider. We don't know what will be in this cave.
I don't know. This all sounded very noble a couple of days ago. This all sounded very heroic. Helping people reclaim their homeland. Forge of spells. Lost mine. Doesn't seem very important now, does it?
Then I suppose we do what we always do.
What's that?
To hell with the consequences.
I think I can do that. Sergei will be following us. For that reason alone, we can't turn away. Otherwise, he'll arrive by himself, and then where will he be?
In all heaps of trouble. After you, my friend.
Before we head off, kind of very just, Thoric has no issues with having an audience. He'll just extend his arm to Johan and just pull him into a hug.
Johan receives it. He wouldn't say it, but he really needed a hug.
Yeah. Thoric just holds him there for a good long embrace, just to, you know, just to share that moment, and then he claps him on the shoulder above him, and Thoric just kind of wipes his face and packs down the camp, smothers the fire, and takes a lungful of air and looks on the horizon to where they're heading.
Mechanically speaking, don't forget to have the benefits of a long rest, the two of you.
God, thank gods.
Also, if you wanted to change up any spells that you had, Thoric, now would be the time.
Oh, yeah.
Any spells you have prepared.
I'm good, yeah.
Make your prayers to your god this morning.
More of an understanding than a prayer, but yeah.
Meanwhile, Johan, as you are equally packing up your things. You notice that things... You are very meticulous, Johan, in the way that you arrange your equipment. Very disciplined, because that is what your order has taught you. Discipline. And something seems somewhat out of place in your gear. Your journal looks to have been moved somewhat. And you can see, poking out of it, a bit of parchment with a manticore feather all wrapped in twine.
Is it folded?
It is.
I unfold it. And I read. What do I read?
This is a letter from Saga to Johan.
Dearest Johan, I'm afraid of what I will become. I saw the monster that Drael had become, and I fear I will become that too. It pains me to leave, but I couldn't live with myself if I hurt any of you. So, I've left to hunt him down before he attacks you again. I hope we meet again in happier circumstances, but if fate has another idea, please promise me you'll kill me before I hurt anyone innocent. Consider me one of the monsters you used to hunt, and remember me as I used to be. If we don't meet again, for what it's worth, I think I love you. Tell Thoric and Sergei I'll miss them. You're all like family to me. Stay safe. Love, Saga.
You take in the words of the letter from Saga. What would you like to do?
He goes to, like, put the fingers at the top of his letter to, as if to tear it, but he can't, and he puts it down. And then he goes to do it again, but he still can't. So he kind of folds it and puts it back in his book. And then puts his stuff in his bag. He doesn't say anything. But he thinks for a second and looks up towards the hill where the werewolf ran. And just looks a little sad. He says under his breath, "Good hunting, Saga." And trudges back alongside Thoric. And puts a hand on his back as they start to walk ahead into the fading light.
I hope you're enjoying this week's episode of Bardic Quest. I just wanted to take a quick moment to highlight our Adventurers Guild to you. Now, I understand more than you might realise just how difficult it can be to arrange a game of Dungeons & Dragons, particularly if you don't have friends who are into D&D, or indeed if you don't have a friendly local game store that is, well, local. So, I am offering my services as a Dungeon Master to members of the public. To find out more details, head on over to bardicquest.com/play, where you can see all of the pay-to-play games that I'm currently running, powered in part by our friends over at startplaying.games, and ran over Discord, so you can enjoy these games of D&D in the comfort of your own home. Again, bardicquest.com/play lists all of the adventures that we're currently going through, including the Lost Mines of Phandelva, which we're currently running through as part of the show. But we're also running a few other games at the moment, including the Tyranny of Dragons campaign. But there'll be other games on there as well, no doubt changing as time goes on through the time travel magic that is the internet. So head on over to bardicquest.com/play to see what games are available, book yourself in, and we'll see you round the table. Johan, Thoric, Gundren continue walking up the hills. It takes you a handful of hours before eventually you reach an area which seemingly to you looks to be like a entranceway, a caved-in entranceway. And Gundren says to you, "All right, here's the spot."
Right.
Wow. I expected something a little more, I don't know, grand.
I mean, I suppose it was lost, so, you know, kind of been that obvious if they lost it, you know. Otherwise it would be the found mind of Phandelver, and that doesn't roll off the tongue very well at all, does it?
He says, obviously we'll need to move some of the stones that are here just to get inside. But we have, at least my brothers, as far as I'm aware, have gone inside. So hopefully we can find them within. And he says, so I suppose let's get our backs into it. And he starts hurriedly moving some of the rocks out of the way of the caved-in entranceway.
So he said that he thinks his brothers are already here.
Yes.
Thoric kind of questions that and says, if they were here, would there not be an open path?
He says, well, the plan was that we would keep it concealed as much as possible because we don't want anybody taking our find, you know. And indeed, I think that was probably the right decision given the degree to which people have been trying to, the extent that people have been trying to find this place. So we had all agreed that if we were going to go in, that we would block up the cave in behind us as we go, so as to not accidentally reveal its location.
Right. Well, let's hop to it. And he'll start to roll up his sleeves and just move boulders as best he can. I don't know if I have a pickaxe or anything. No. I probably have enough bodily strength, and I do have a hammer and stuff if there are any particularly stubborn rocks. and a rope and stuff, so he'll use that and kind of to lash
using as much leverage as you can to just move things out of the way as quickly as possible.
Exactly that.
Okay. So it takes you a little bit of time. Go ahead.
Sorry, it's kind of a bit more quiet than usual, which is probably not that noticeable because it's usually pretty quiet anyway. But sort of rather than just moving the rocks, he's kind of like moving.
So it takes you a little bit of time to clear these out of the way, but eventually you do, and you can see that this then leads into a long tunnel into the darkness beyond. What would you like to do?
Thoric will slide Gladys out of his belt. Crikey.
That was a bit loud.
Put it away! Put it away!
Okay, we're going to cover the rocks again now, right? No, thank you. He slides Gladys out of his belt and kind of flips her into his hand and holds her out to Johan and says, seeing as you haven't got your sword at the moment, until we can get you a nice replacement, she'll serve. Maybe not your what you're used to, but I trust you with her.
He takes it gently, kind of takes a few test swings to try and get used to the weight. And
she's remarkably light. She is a light weapon.
Ah. Well, is Gladys a finesse weapon by any chance?
She's not a finesse. She's lacking in finesse, but she is a simple, light, thrown weapon. Obviously, you can hit things close to. She's a D6, and you are proficient with her. Specifically her.
Lovely. Okay. Yeah. Proficient in Gladys.
Yeah. Add that to me.
Yeah, and so like
it means you would be attacking with strength rather than dexterity for Gladys.
Fair enough. Johan takes it and gives Thoric a curt but friendly nod and draws his other dagger and looks at Thoric and goes, I'm glad you're here.
And you, my friend. Oh, one more thing. He just places his hand on his shield and casts light for one.
All right.
As we go into the darkness.
Okay. Which illuminates the space around you, and you can start to see into the depths of the tunnel ahead of you.
And Thoric will take out one of his healer's kits.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll... It's kind of like a neat bundle of tools and bandages and other such things. And he'll pass it to Johan and say, Weirdly, I don't really need these anymore. Magical privileges and all that. So, I thought maybe you could make use of it.
Thank you. I'm sure I will.
He gives him a healer's kit. It has 10 uses, and you can use an action and expend one of the uses to stabilize a creature that has 0 hit points.
Lovely. Thank you. Adding that to the inventory as we speak.
Okay.
I was going to give the other one to Sergei, but God knows if he knows how to use one.
Healer's kit.
Okay.
Got it.
So, Gundren says, well... This is it, then, I suppose.
Aye.
Do we feel as though we have everything we need before we go in? I'm not entirely sure what to expect in there.
Probably not, but we're going in.
Neither are we.
Right. Well,
For what it's worth, Gundren.
Aye.
Thank you for all you've done.
Hi.
Well, likewise. Thank you. I mean, I don't think I'd even be here right now if it wasn't for you. So, if anything, thank you. This is the moment, I suppose, after a lot of work from all of us. So, we should enjoy this moment as best we can.
Let's go as softly as we can and Johan, if you'll permit me, let's stop every so often so I can detect if there's any magic. I think that should steer us.
Agreed.
Gundren says, "Oh, I don't know if I'm nervous or excited." And he says,
"Bit of both."
Probably. So, shall I go first, or did you want to go first? Or
absolutely not. Unless you, well, I feel like you should get the first step into the mines as an official thing, and then, with respect, I think possibly, you know, maybe stay safe in between us or something.
I think that might be a good move. I certainly don't have the fighting capabilities that you do, just in case there is anything horrible in there. We know what lurks underneath the depths of the earth. Hopefully, though, nothing to be too fearful of. Yeah, I'm starting to think that it's more nerves than excitement, I'll be honest with you.
I'm sure it'll all be fine.
I think so. Right then. Well, I'll lead the way. And he steps into the tunnel and makes his way into the darkness beyond, that is being illuminated, of course, by Thoric's shield. So, the entrance tunnel leads into a large cavern that is supported by a natural pillar of rock and containing three stalagmites in the western part of the cave. Behind the column of rock, you can see there are three bedrolls and a heap of ordinary-looking supplies, things like sacks of flour, bags of salt, casks of salted meat, lanterns, flasks of lamp oil, pickaxes, shovels, and other bits of gear. And amid the supplies, you can also see the body of a dwarf miner. The northeastern section of the cavern has collapsed, forming a 10-foot wide, 20-foot deep pit. The sturdy hemp rope tied off around a nearby stalagmite and dangles down the side of the pit, at the bottom of which is a rough-hewn tunnel headed northwest and to the east. Gundren naturally is stunned, and he lets out a huge cry that echoes around the cave as he runs to the body of the dwarf. Is there anything you'd like to do?
Look around the room to see if there is any source of danger.
Do you want to give me a perception check?
Please.
I'd also like to do a perception check.
Okay.
18.
15.
I did
15. There is no immediate sign of danger. You do hear, though, a very loud booming sound, which seems to come roughly every minute. It like almost shakes the cave that you're in. But it doesn't appear, it kind of, as I say, comes roughly sort of every minute. It doesn't seem to be causing any immediate threat, but it is obviously putting you very much on high alert.
What is that?
I don't know, but Wave Echo Cave?
Gundren is sobbing next to the body of this dwarf.
Sorry.
It wasn't meant to be a joke.
No, I know.
It was what it says on the tin. Stop it.
I just pictured Johan's face just going. Oh, yeah.
Johan starts giggling at a funeral and I step on his toe and just.
Yes. Gundren is looking beside himself with grief.
This is when you have a high intelligence, low wisdom character. He's not actually laughing. He wanders over to the dwarf and crouches by it. Can I do an investigation check to ascertain how he died, please?
You certainly can. I'd need nature or survival, if you're proficient in one over the other. You'll have to use the other, I think.
Can I determine how long this dwarf has been dead for?
Oh, yes. Medicine check might actually be the more appropriate. I always forget about the medicine check. Medicine check from you, then, Johan, and a medicine check from you, Isaac, I think is probably the best to go with.
Nature. 17 for nature check.
Okay.
15.
And a medicine check for me. Or just Thoric?
Let's just do Thoric, I think, for the medicine check.
15.
As you are, you kind of allow Gundren his moment, Thoric, and you try not to intrude as you just try to assess this dwarven body, which you suspect has been dead for at least a week. Right. So 7 days or so. Johan, you're looking at this body too, and you're taking a look, and you can see almost like burn marks on its skin, but not burn from, say, a flame, but more burn from extreme cold. What would you like to do?
I say to Thoric, and I kind of gently tap Thoric and I point him out at his wounds and I go, look at this.
Aye. Magic?
Looks to be. Gundren, who is this?
He looks at you with tears streaming down his face. He takes a moment, almost as if the words are hard for him to speak. And he just says to you, it's my brother, Tharden. What happened to him?
Johan kind of looks at Tharden as if to say, do we tell him?
Thoric nods.
It looks like he was killed by some kind of magical attack that can wield extreme cold. These are frost burns.
He processes what you're saying. And he says, but who would do this? Who would kill an innocent dwarf like this?
The Black Spizer, of course.
I did not think that the desire for this place was enough to warrant murder. Capture, perhaps. But murder just seems a bit extreme to me.
You'd be surprised what some will do for power.
It does seem extreme and unreasonable to reasonable folk. These aren't reasonable folk.
If you'd like to remain here, we will not stop you.
I would at least like to take care of him as best I can. This was certainly not what I was expecting coming in here.
It may not be safe for you to be here.
Well, I don't suspect that it's safe for any of us to be here.
No. But this is one of your brothers. You have another, yes?
Aye.
What's her name?
Nundro.
Well, Nundro might still be alive.
Aye. But why would he leave my brother here if he was?
Maybe he didn't choose to.
Maybe.
If you're all privy to the legends and secrets, maybe someone needed information that maybe they thought your brother had.
Aye, that's possible.
I would perhaps... Well, his body's still here and their camp is... So perhaps it's safe enough. I'll leave that to you, whether you stay in the cave or no. We can help you carry your brother out of here, if that's your choice. Or we can leave you here with him.
Perhaps I'd like to stay here for now. I almost
don't want to. If we do not return by nightfall, you should leave the cave.
Well, I think perhaps leaving the cave at nightfall would probably be the less sensible move, given what is roaming the hills, you know.
At dawn, then.
Aye. Perhaps dawn.
If you see the halfling, send him to us. We'll leave a trail.
Aye. He says, before you go, he says, I don't know if these might be of use to you. It may feel a little strange to gift this to you, given the circumstances. And you see him starting to pull the boots off of Tharden, which look very well-made boots. I wouldn't necessarily say they're the most prettiest boots in the world. But he passes them over to you, Thoric. And he says... These are boots of striding and springing. Tharden won't have much use for them now, so it seems that you would have better use for them, particularly if you're going into the mines. We don't know what's...
Would they... Thoric kind of takes them gingerly and says, would they not suit Johann better, who's much more inclined to both striding and springing?
Well, perhaps, but he
or
is already
not fit him.
I mean, to be fair, they probably wouldn't fit him, but equally the benefits of striding and springing, mechanically speaking, but this obviously passes through narratively too, is if your speed is not 30, it puts your speed to 30. So that's a benefit that a human wouldn't have necessarily, unless they were being slowed. And your speed isn't reduced if you're encumbered or wearing heavy armor. And in addition, you can jump 3 times the normal distance, which is usually equal to your strength score. So three times your strength score in feet. But you can't jump any farther than your remaining movement would allow.
Cool. Wow, those are good for striding and sprinting. And springing.
And sprinting too, I think.
What do you think, Johan? Are these any more useful?
Yeah, it's just kind of like, you should wear them. They are. He died, and it's.
Say no more.
Well, that you should wear them, I think.
Say no more. Thoric will say a very brief sort of word and kind of rest his hand on Thardin's forehead and say, may you walk in the halls of your forefathers and foremothers. May your spirit rest. May your spirit delve under stone and ocean. May you find peace in the halls of your ancestors. And he will take the boots and blow and pop them on.
Gundren looks up at you, Thoric, and says just quietly, thank you.
And I will attune to them.
Indeed. So attuning is going to take you, I believe, an hour of time to do so. But at this moment in time, there seems to be no sign of an immediate threat. So you are welcome to take that hour should you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whilst Thoric is attuning, then he's spending an hour lacing up these boots. what would you like to do, Johan, with your hour of time?
Train, I suppose. Sharpen my weapons. Mm-hmm. Do some warm ups. Do some crunches. You know.
Gladys doesn't need practice.
Oh.
He starts taking a whetstone. She's like, no, you don't do that.
And he just starts to like take some practice swings, starts to hop about, and also just kind of having a look around this place, seeing if he can hear anything, if he can see anything, if he can recognize anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thinking about his letter.
So, an hour passes. There's nothing really jumping out at you, Johan. This is essentially just a cave with a big pit and a rope leading down. The pit, by the way, is 20 foot deep. So, jumping down would be risky.
10 foot wide, did you say?
It is, yes, 10 foot wide, 20 foot deep. And 10 foot wide being in respect of the... Wide is probably the wrong word to use, to be honest. 10 foot from the edge to the back wall. So probably, I suppose you couldn't use the term deep. The actual... Because the chamber itself is... The chamber you're in is what I would describe as a wide chamber. So you've got 10 foot from the edge of the ledge to the far wall. And actually the what I would describe as probably the width is more like 20 feet across. 20 feet from left to right. Sorry, 40 feet across from left to right. 20 feet from... where you are to the far wall.
Ah, so not...
Does that make sense?
Not 10 foot wide.
No. I misspoke.
I will not be striding or springing towards that chasm then.
I can jump 12 feet.
Well, the...
With a run up.
The only exits from... Because this is essentially a pit, right? So you've got the ground of the cavern, and you have the far wall, and then you have this pit below. So there's nowhere to jump across to. It's just a bare rock wall. But the exits out of this chamber are at the bottom of that pit, heading east. Yes, east and northwest.
So in order to get back here, we'd have to climb back up this rope.
Yes, and possibly in order to get down there, you might also need to try and climb the rope too, because you obviously, if you fall, it's going to hurt a little with a 20-foot drop.
A little.
1d6 of bludgeoning damage per 10 feet of falling. So, up to 12 damage.
Oh, God. Right. Johan looks down the pit. Can you see anything? Obviously, I don't have dark vision, but if I look down the pit... Can I see any signs of light or activity, or can I hear any life other than the thudding of the waves as they hum through the cave?
Any light from below?
Mm.
No. It is, aside from the light from Thoric's shield, it is very dark in here.
Okay, one thing I think I'd like to do is light a torch.
Okay.
And drop it down the pit, but trying to avoid the rope.
Okay. Sure. So you light this torch and just chuck it down into the pit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing really happens. Other than the bottom of the pit is better illuminated now.
Oh, that's good. Then I suppose he looks back at Gundren and Thoric, gives them both a curt nod and says, "Here we go." Takes his, comes back for his run up, gives himself about 10 feet. And as gracefully as he is able, runs and jumps towards the rope.
Okay. Could I get an athletics check from you, please?
Oh, yeah. Ooh! That's a 22.
Nice. You leap across, grab hold of the rope, and almost slide effortlessly down this rope. In such a way as to not give yourself any burns on your hands. But it looks rather elegant from Thoric's perspective, as you just, almost like you've done this 1,000 times, just spin as you're going down the rope and land safely at the bottom next to your torch.
I take my weapons out and I bang them together twice, as if to say I got down okay. And then kind of put my dagger away, put Gladys in my good hand, and then pick up my torch and try and look at what, see if I can see more of what's at bottom of the pit.
Essentially, this is just, again, bare rock down here with a tunnel to the east and a tunnel to the northwest.
It takes a few cautionary steps towards the west tunnel.
The northwestern tunnel, okay.
Yeah.
Thoric, in the meantime, what are you doing, sir?
So he's down, there doesn't seem to be any other way through, across, all that jazz.
Nope, it is the way you came into the entrance tunnel. and the tunnels to the east and northwest at the bottom of the pit.
Oh, which is 20 feet down?
Correct. And there is a rope that you could climb down, should you want to.
Do I have to leap for the rope, or can I just abseil down?
You could probably abseil down, but Johan being Johan has, you know, made a stunt of it.
Oh, of course. I'm going to take out one of my pittons and just hammer it into the rock by me. Just as something to, like, attach another rope onto if we need, but I'm going to hold on to my rope. Gundren, do you have a... Oh, there were other stores, actually, weren't there? Is there a,
yes.
Is there a rope near you?
He says, let me have a look. And he starts rummaging around, and he goes, oh, yeah, got one.
Great. Thorik finishes his breakfast of an apple. And ties the rope to the pitten, and just carefully abseils down from there. So okay. There's, like, more stability, and they've got a direct route back up to there, if need be.
Sure. Do you want to give me an athletics check then, with advantage, to account for the pittons, I think?
Well, it's good it was advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of those was nat 1. But the other one's a 16.
Oh, much better. Okay. So, as you're making your way down, you do try and kind of hammer one of the pittons into the... into the rock, and just as you're about to put your weight fully on it, it breaks away, but you're quick enough just to kind of refasten yourself almost, not to lose your footing, and you carefully then make your way, not by any means as deftly as Johan before you, but steadily make your way down to the cave floor beneath you with Johan.
Thorik's a bit wobbly, and he sort of just leaves the rope there. Okay, right.
Oh, I have a climber's kit as well. It's just so Johan. I mean, that extra.
Yeah. Indeed.
All the extra.
Okay, never mind.
So, my human friend, where to? Either's as good as any, I should think.
Try the west, the northwestern tunnel. See what happens.
Want to go to the northwest?
Aye.
Okay.
I would say I feel good about this, but that doesn't feel like the right word.
Terrible. You mean to say terrible?
Yes. And just kind of...
So that's it for another exciting episode of Bardic Quest. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Before we go, I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you to a couple of folks. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to James Webster for providing us with and allowing us to use this beautiful animated artwork that features throughout the show. If you are a fan of his work and want to show your support to him, then head on over to patreon.com/JamesRPGArt, where you can become a patron of his. But also, I'd like to say a big thank you to our friends over at Sirenscape for allowing us to use their wonderful ambience, music, and sound effects. So if you'd like to introduce those sounds to your table, head on over to sirenscape.com to check out their amazing work. So that's it from us this week, and we will catch you next time.